Bibles to Hebrews chapter 8. What a title this, You Shall Know the Lord. Hebrews chapter 8, we'll begin reading at verse 7. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days cometh, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old, and now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Let's just pray for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, Lord, we want to come in complete, total sincerity and looking to you, Lord, to give honor to you that belongs to you and give you the liberty that belongs to you in this service tonight, Lord, to come and speak to our hearts and to move upon this service, Lord, to receive our worship and, Lord, just to interact with us and cause us just to be quickened by your presence, by your word, and inspired by your spirit. We love you, Lord, and we know that you are on your throne and, Lord, that you're here among this people tonight. You're the great shepherd of the flock, watching over them. And so, Lord, we just want to gather underneath your watchful eye tonight. Just ask God that you have your way among us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Ye shall know the Lord. When we're reading here the scriptures, I hadn't noticed it this way the last night when I was reading it, but the scripture said God found fault with them. I always read that for some reason in my mind was he found fault with the covenant, the old covenant. But he actually said he found fault with them. And so really what he's saying there was that under that covenant, even though it was as good as it was, because everything God does is good, but, you know, that covenant did not put Israel in a place where he was pleased. And, you know, God knows what he's doing. He could have made one covenant and made that one covenant be sufficient to save the whole world. But, you know, he didn't do it that way. And these things, you know, God does things the way he does because he desires to. So he does things the way he wants to for a reason. And to me, that speaks to the fact that, you know, we have a flesh body that we're born in, that we're born in a first nature of the flesh that cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It has to be changed. It has to pass away. It can't. And there is a covenant that it was speaking concerning the flesh and the limitations of the flesh, and it just is not sufficient. And so to me, when he made the first covenant what it was, he knew what he was doing, knowing full well that he was going to have another covenant that was going to be greater. And so the first covenant was not wasn't sufficient to do what he wanted, so he had to make a new covenant. And so the new covenant, New Testament, we understand that. And Brother Bram tells us, you know, that the police, all he can do is put you in jail. Policeman can take you. He's got all the power in the world to arrest you, put you in jail. But he has zero power to take you out of jail. Once he puts you in there, he can't take you out. Brother Bram was talking about how that's the law. The law was there to condemn you and show you that you're a sinner and let you know that death is upon you. Mm-hmm. And so, but that's all he could do. He had no power to save you, no power to change this flesh, no power to even change what's in your heart or even what's in your mind. And so we realize that. But, you know, and so the Old Testament, Old Covenant couldn't do that, but the New Covenant could. And so grace can take you out. Grace can do what the Old Covenant could not do under the law, under works, under the flesh. But the New Covenant under grace can take you out. Right. So here, as we read this, where he said the New Covenant, he said he would put his laws in your mind. Now, apparently the old one didn't do that.
Right?
Because he said the new one would do that. And so it's not just that God wants us to know intellectually the commandments and to know his law intellectually, because you can learn it. You can learn it. You can be a sinner and you can learn the letter of the law, and you can think about it all day if you want to, and it doesn't achieve what he's talking about. But under the new covenant, he actually takes that law and not putting you like in an intellectual form, but he puts the life of that law inside you. So now you don't have to go get it and bring it in from out like that, but it's in you to live out.
Right.
There's a difference there. And so he puts the law in our minds and would write them in our hearts. And so when he said this, he said, in this new covenant, he said, I will be to them a God. And you know, Brother Graham said God is an object of worship. But you realize that when he says that in this new covenant, I'm going to do something that's going to put my laws in their heart, in their mind. And in this condition, I'm going to become a God to them, and they're going to become my people. And so, as Brother Graham said, an object of worship, then he was going through this covenant that we would understand and we would begin to worship him because of this covenant and because of how great he is and what he's done for us. So it would just naturally flow out from us that he would be our God. We would worship him, and we would be his people. He would be our God, and we would be his people. Mm-hmm. So the scripture goes on and says, and they shall know, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother. Right. You know, and they would not be saying to each other, know the Lord. No one would have to come to you and say, hey, let me tell you and teach you and show you. And this is not negating the fact that God does have in his church apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers to teach you and so forth. But it's speaking of what God would do inside your heart, and it would be such that man would not have to come along and teach you and say, hey, come and know the Lord, because he said, because every one of you will know the Lord, from the least unto the greatest, from the youngest to the oldest, from the smallest to the largest, to the thinnest, to the fattest, whatever, however you want to look at it, from the person who can't sign his name, doesn't know right hand from left, to the man that's full of intellect, whatever, that everybody in this covenant will know the Lord.
Right.
And you'll know him in such a way that, not to negate fivefold ministry, but you'll know him in such a way that people won't have to come and tell you, come and know the Lord. You're going to know him yourself.
Right.
Right? That's what this new covenant is talking about. You're going to know it. And it doesn't leave anybody out. I'm talking about, so in this covenant, nobody's left out. There's not somebody saying, well, you can be in the covenant, but you can't really come and see the Lord. You can't come and talk to him. No, everybody will know the Lord. Amen. I remember the scriptures where it's talking about Jesus talking about John the Baptist and said, born of woman, there's not been a man greater than John the Baptist. Howbeit, the least in the kingdom was greater than him.
Yeah.
So, hey, listen. So the Old Testament closing out, and John the Baptist was bridging between the Old and New Testament to introduce Christ. And after all those things, and Jesus paid that compliment to him and said, there's not been one born of woman greater than John the Baptist. What a thing to say about someone, right? So he basically saying, of all the Old Testament and everything there that's led up to this, nothing is as great as this right here. Howbeit, in this new covenant, everybody, the least in this new covenant, is greater than that.
Mm-hmm.
So it shows you that what God wants to do on this new covenant is so much far beyond the Old Testament and do's and don'ts and all this stuff. where you have to try to teach someone intellectually and correct someone into living right. It actually puts something inside you that's actually the life of this, the laws of God inside you. And in that condition, everyone knows the Lord, and everyone, and not going to have to come along and be telling your neighbor and so forth, because everybody's going to know him.
Right.
From the least to the greatest. And he says, I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Put it in the sea of his forgetfulness. Right? Brother Bram come along, and we learned that from him, that phrase, for God to put those things in the sea of his forgetfulness, because he's big enough to do that.
Right.
You and I can't forget things. We do forget things, but not purposely. Right? But he can take something and say, from this day forward, I'll remember it no more. And you say, well, what? And he said, what are you talking about?
Right.
It's done, gone. It's over with.
Because
he doesn't remember.
Right.
And he can do that, because that's part of what makes him God. Mm-hmm. Right? He can do that. And so he says that when my people, when I do a new covenant, and I begin to do this work where I put my laws in their heart and in their mind, and when I get them into that spot, this covenant's going to make such an effect in their life that they're going to move into a mode where their sins and their iniquities, I will not remember them again.
Yeah.
You know, the scripture tells us that he has perfected once and for all. Once and for all. He doesn't have to go and just be sacrificed day after day after day after day. For all the sins, he died once. For all the sins.
Right.
I'll say it this way so you can understand. If you make a mistake tomorrow, that was underneath that blood. Even before it happened.
Right.
So his blood is sufficient to cover every failure and every mistake from beginning to end. Anything there is.
Right.
He handed the law all under that. And so this new covenant gives us access to where our sins and our iniquities, he will remember them no more. And so, you know, when we talk about how that, you know, our profession has to be in agreement with his word, and if it is, then God make your body line up with your profession, right? And, you know, we have to, like I said the other day, at judgment, Satan votes against you and Christ votes for you. Now it depends on where you cast your vote. Because it's got to be at least two witnesses.
Right.
So if you agree with Christ, you're saved, and the devil's a final false accuser.
Yeah.
But if you believe what the devil says and you agree with him, now that makes Christ a liar, and you know he's not.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And so when we come into this place where he doesn't remember our sins and our iniquities, he doesn't remember it. Well, we need to. Well, our confession needs to be what his is. So somehow, through this revelation, we got to realize, you know what? He's done something in me that's made me different than what I was before. And I'm going to start proclaiming that. I'm going to start identifying with that. And I'm going to start telling you what he says about me.
Right?
Right? And I never did it in the first place.
Right.
Amen. And so, he says, I'll be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and iniquities. I will remember no more. Imagine that. The creator of all the universe, the whole thing, that everybody out there in this world and this whole universe is subject to him and accountable to him.
Right.
Accountable. That's why they don't want God in schools and all that, because they don't want to. They want to hush up the fact that they are accountable.
Yeah.
Like Brother Brown said in marriage and divorce about the way people live, you know, shacking up and all those things. He said, "Sinner or saint, you're responsible, man." And that's right. So the whole world is responsible. So can you imagine being able to stand before the supreme judge and he has nothing, he finds nothing wrong with you? Right? They found no fault in him because there was no fault in him. And because of that, now he can look at us and say, I find no fault in him.
Right.
And that's exactly what he's saying. But take a prophet at the end time to be able to be, to have the authority to stand there and say, you never did it in the first place. The rest of the church world does not get access to that because they reject that ministry and that word. It's just like in marriage and divorce. He said, if you believe me to be God's prophet, you're listening to him and you believe me to be sent of God for these things, then God's given me permission to tell you to go as you are, but don't do it again. Right? The world out there don't get access to that.
Right.
You've got to come underneath the message before you can have access to that. So they're found adulteresses and adulterers out there, and yet God has provided the thing that can save them and take that completely out of his thinking and make it as though you never did in the first place, but it's underneath the message through a vindicated word, a vindicated prophet. These people live like that, and they want to be offended because you preach the word saying that it's wrong. The best thing they could do is get underneath that anointed word, and that's where they'd find forgiveness for it. Right. And something that would change them to clean up their lives so they'd never do it again.
Right?
Right? But they reject the very thing that can fix them and clean them up and make them into better people. And so he says he would remember our sins and iniquities no more. So he says, when he said a new covenant, he made the first one old. Right? When he said, I'll make a new covenant, well, as soon as he said that, then that means he's taking the first one and he's making that old because he's got a new one now. And Paul said, so that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. And so he's telling him, when you come into this new covenant, right? He's starting to talk like it's a garment. So when you come into this new covenant, you're putting on a new garment, this old garment that you once wore, this old garment that you were once identified with, that when everybody looked at you, that's what you saw, and when you looked in the mirror, that's what you saw that you wore, and you were totally identified with that. And you know how it is. Especially our little sister, but even young men, it matters what you wear, right? You get around school kids and all the peer pressure, and you're concerned about what you're wearing.
Right.
But this old covenant, the thing that you once identified with, the thing that was once your clothing, the thing that you were identified in your life, now it's waxing old. It's ready to vanish away. Why? Because you're putting on a new garment. And you don't need that old one. And that old one's getting ripped and it's getting torn and it's decaying. And that's what it's like trying to live that kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's dying.
Yeah.
It's headed to the ground that it come from, right? This flesh. But the new garment is a different one.
Mm-hmm.
The new covenant. It's something we can put on. So he says, it's ready to pass away. And so the thing that we're identified with is ready. The old thing we were identified with is passing away. We don't have to identify with those things anymore.
Yeah.
We don't have to live our lives like that. We can identify as new creatures in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Because of what he's done for us.
Amen.
And so the old garment cannot make you faultless, but the new covenant can make you faultless. And as Brother Branham said, justified as though you never did in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So you have access to all these things I just said. He said, I'm going to give a new covenant. I'm going to do all these things. And they shall know me. And everyone will have access to these things. They'll have access to know him and come to know him in such a way that they have a relationship with him. When I say I know Brother Daniel, Brother Daniel says he knows me, that's because there's a relationship we have between us. We identify with each other. We can talk to each other and communicate with each other because we know each other.
Right.
And so when you shall know the Lord, you shall know these things we're talking about. When you shall know the Lord, you shall know that kind of forgiveness. When you shall know the Lord, you'll know that you don't have to be identified with those other things anymore, that you're a new creature.
Right.
When you know the Lord, you know that he's taken your sins and iniquities and taken them away from you. And you know that he's put something inside you that's different than what you were.
Yeah.
And now, because I can tell you, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not trying to, you know me, I'm not bragging or nothing like that. But I remember the first thing that happened to me when I gave my heart to the Lord. One thing was, I had a burden for lost. Just like that.
Yeah.
But the other thing was, is he was on my mind all day, every day. Just thinking about the Lord. And to this day, you think about God all the time. You know, you got to work, and you think, but just every few minutes, every little bit, you're thinking about the Lord. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
What happened? He put something inside us.
That's right.
He put his law in our mind and something in our heart.
Amen.
That makes us want to live for him, not from do's and don'ts, and I better behave or I'm going to get in trouble.
Right.
but something that you want to live because you've come to know Him,
right.
To know the Lord. And you know He's right, and you know His word is right, and you know He's righteous, and He's true, and His counsel is correct. Amen. And you know everything outside of that's got something wrong with it.
Right.
You come to know that. And that's the benefit of knowing the Lord, to know Him in that way, and to know Him in His attributes. That is the desire of my heart, I suppose of every minister's heart, but that's the desire of my heart, that I could come and take each one of you by the hand, and I could lead you up the aisleway and take you up and put your hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus and introduce you together.
Right.
That, and then that I can turn around and walk away and let y'all have fellowship.
Right.
And let y'all get to know one another.
Amen.
That's the desire of my heart for every one of you, that you will come to know the Lord. And that's why we preach, and that's why we do the things we do, is because that's the whole bottom line, is to get that old garment off of you and get that new one on you and get that new law inside your heart so that you know you've met something that's not a man,
amen.
Not just a human, but God.
Amen.
And once you know that, once you know, listen, I'm in fellowship with something that's different than me. And I realize that for me, you know. I was explaining to someone yesterday about, you know, how you meant it. Like, how does a preacher know what to come up and preach? We don't know. But we fellowship with the Lord, and you can read the scriptures and read and read and read, but God has just that little way of saying something to you. That way of that word just leaping off the page and beginning to warm your heart, and somehow He has a way of speaking. And you know, thank you, Lord. That's something I can go with, right? You know how that works. Why? That's a communication. It's like, I don't know how that works, but it works.
Right.
And that's what I'm looking to. When I go to, I know I'm in the ministry, I'm looking to that. When I go to pray, I'm looking for something in that. You know, I'm looking to hear His voice and hear Him speak the way He speaks, ever so mightily, and yet in a still small voice.
Yeah.
But He does it. And so, all the benefits of knowing the Lord is to know Him in all these ways and to be beneficiaries of all these things that He said, I'll give you under my new covenant.
Right.
And so when you know you're coming into this new covenant and what it can provide and all those things that the other cannot provide, then let those other things go. Don't identify with those anymore. And begin to say it the way the Lord is saying it, and to begin to enter into the fellowship of this cup you're drinking with of the Lord, of the things He's provided for you, enter into that and identify with that completely. And so, that is the desire of a minister's heart, is to introduce each one of you to the Lord and walk away, and I'll say it this way, to introduce you and walk away and let you two go into the bedchamber as husband and wife, as for Christ and His bride. Right? That's the old desire. And that is my desire, that you may know the Lord. To may know Him in the power of His resurrection, to know Him in the Holy Ghost, in all the attributes that He says He will be for you in your life. That's my desire, is for you to know Him. Not to lead you to a creed or a man-made dogma. Not to lead you to denominational teaching that's contrary to the Word. They all think that that's Christ. Pentecostals think that the gifts is Christ. No, they're just a gift from Christ.
Yeah.
And if I had a choice of leading you to the gifts that the Holy Spirit can give you or giving you Him Himself, I'll give you Him.
Mm-hmm.
Be better to have that than to have all these other things. And so I don't want to lead you to a creed or a dogma or some religious system or some teaching that's not correct. I don't want to lead you to a sensation, though you may have those things. You can have a doctrine that's truly from Christ, that's part of Him. But you can also have it and it not be part of Him.
Right.
And you can have sensations that's not part of Christ. Or you can have some that's part of the true moving of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
So you don't want to chase after the things that He can give you, because Satan can do those things too. He may take those things too. But you want the person of God, the person of the Holy Ghost, the person of Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost. That's who we want you to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Not some system that you can go through. And because all of those other things that are imitations, all that old covenant can imitate that stuff. Right? They can shout under the old covenant. You can shout under the new. Right? But it's to bring you to the place where you know the Lord. Know Him. To know Him for what He is and what He's doing today. What He's up to right now in this earth. Not to know Him from 2,000 years ago, what He did in Luther's day, in Wesley's day, or in Moses' day, but to know Him for what He's doing right now on this earth, what pleases Him, what's on His mind, what is He wanting to be accomplished today. That's what we want you to be in contact with, that you be sensitive to that, and you hear His voice in that. And so, to lead you to the Lord, to lead you to the God who speaks back, to the God who actually does in your life everything He said He'd do in your life today. Everything that He said He'd come on the scene now and do in this hour, to make a bride ready and to clothe her and make her one with Him and have a wedding here so He can take her to the marriage supper. He said He would come and do all this. To come and be the faithful and true witness. He said He would do that. And so that's what we want you to know. When you know the Lord, you'll know these things that He promised, to know Him for what He is and what He's doing. So we know that we can know Him as a Father, right? Because He is our Father.
Right.
And the Scripture said that because we are sons, He hath put forth or set forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Because we are sons, He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And now that Spirit in us makes us cry out to Him and say, Abba, Father. Makes us recognize we came from You.
Right.
We're Your offspring. Mm-hmm. Right? So to know Him as our Father. And the only way that we can know Him as our Father is if He puts something in us that's helped us know we're His sons. And if we're His sons, that means we've got genetic material, spiritually speaking. In our spirit, we have genetic material that's part of God, that came from God. And if God's eternal life, then that's eternal life.
Yeah.
You see, these are the things the message taught us. These things are right there in the Scripture, and it's come clear to us today on our prophetic ministry to understand. That's what the Scripture's saying. It did not say, you became a son when He put the Spirit of His Son in you. It says, and because you are sons, He put forth that Spirit into you so that you could know and you could cry out and say, Abba, Father, You're my God. I'm Your son. And that means that if I'm Your son, then you have an inheritance that comes to me. There's a nature you have that comes to me that I'm to express like You. And when you realize that God has committed that to you, then you need to start walking your life looking for God to manifest through your life the attributes that's like Him that has come to you that makes you like Him.
Amen.
That when they can look at you and say maybe you're ignorant and unlearned like in the Scripture, but they took notice they've been with Jesus, that somebody, they could look at you and say, you know what? You don't even have to speak a word. Just the way you walk, some people can tell there's something about you.
Mm-hmm.
That you're a believer. Mm-hmm. To know that you're a son of God, a child of God. The Scripture said in Isaiah 9:6, if you'll put it up there. Isaiah 9:6, familiar. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Talking about Jesus, right? He was the one born. And the government shall be upon His shoulders. And His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Look at all these things. And of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. He's an everlasting Father. You know what the word everlasting means? That means that he's there to express that attribute to that you'll always be, you can always identify yourself with Him as a son of God because He's your Father.
Yeah.
That's just one of many. You can know Him as a brother. Anybody believes that?
Mm-hmm.
You can know the Lord as a brother. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. I'll condense it down a little bit. We'll just read verses 10 through 13. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 13. For it became him, talking about Jesus, who was made a little lower than angels, for it became him for whom are all things, they're all made for him, right? For whom are all things, and by whom are all things, because he is the Word and the Word made everything. Yeah. See? By whom are all things, in bringing in what? Many sons unto glory. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him, and behold, I and the children which God hath given me. So he's not ashamed to call you brethren.
Right.
So now if he's your brother, what does that mean? If he's your brother, that means you can look to him as a brother, and you can look and see how a son should act.
Right.
You can look at him as an example and say, okay, he's a son, and he's a perfect image of father, and there's genetics in that's coming to him, and he's acting out, and you can look to him as an example so that you know that your father and what you're supposed to be, he's an example. So you can look at him as a brother. So you see, God's got a reason for all these things being this way. Because
right.
You can know him as a father and you can know him as a brother. But only God can do that. That should help people understand that it's not three gods. It's one God expressing himself through three different offices. And now we find out not only is he father, but he's brother.
Right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He's a lot more than that, too. You can really fry the brain of some of these people. I'm just saying that you bring this stuff all out, and this it will. It's because they're not used to hearing these things. You know, he knows, we know him as a father who's God above us, and we know him as a son, which could be Jesus Christ, our brother, but he's also more than that. We know him to be the Holy Ghost. We know him to be the Spirit of Truth. We know him to be the Comforter. Why would you need a Spirit of Truth? Because there's a lot of faults in the land.
Right.
Why would you need it to be a Spirit? So they can anoint you to believe and be an expression of truth. Why would he be a comforter? Because you need a comforter.
Yeah.
And this new covenant is to provide you all these things that you can have him as a comforter. You can have him as an example.
Yeah.
You can have him as your father.
Right.
The scripture said, he says, I'm your friend. What's a friend? Well, a friend is somebody who'll tell you everything, tell you all their secrets.
Yeah.
That's right. Better be a real friend before you do that.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend will tell you all things.
Right.
Jesus said in John 15, I shall pull it up, I'll show you. You're familiar with this, John 15, 12. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that he laid down his life for his what?
Friends.
Yeah. We need friends. Who will lay their lives down for us, right? And ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have received of my Father I have made known unto you.
Right.
You know, Brother Branham can say that he said, I have not shunned to declare to you the old counsel of God. Everything that God gave to him, he shared, that he could share, that God gave him permission to.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus said, look, you know, because if you have friends, you love your friends.
Right.
If you have friends, you'll do something for them. And if it's really true love, you give your life for them if you have to, if it's a true friend. And if it's a true friend, you will share what's on your heart with them. They'll know what's on your heart.
Right.
Right? And so Jesus said, hey, you're my friends.
Right.
I'll tell you everything. And you can tell him everything.
Right.
And that's the kind of relationship you can have with him. You don't have to hide it because it's stupid to hide something from anyway, because he knows.
Right.
And unless you get it on the blood, and then he don't know because he's put it in the sea of his forgiveness.
That's right.
So you can know him as a comforter. You know him as a friend, as a brother, as a father. And you can know him as a husband. You know him as a husband. A husband who takes upon himself the responsibility of taking care of you. When it said a while ago, and the government shall be up on his shoulders. And you know what they do? Take that woman's veil and they throw it over his shoulder. And then what they do? Something like that. To take that responsibility and put it on his shoulders. The responsibility of taking care of you. So, puts it over his shoulder. And so it's somebody that will take responsibility of you and will give you his name. And Brother Branham is preaching there in the seals, in the first seal, and he said, that makes me tremble. He said, I'm going to call you bride so that you understand. Mm-hmm. He's wanting you to know, I'm going to call you bride so that you understand. So it gives you his name. A husband gives you his name. A husband who will feed you, as the scripture said, the husband is to provide food and raiment and duty of marriage. Cannot shirk that responsibility. That he has to take care of you and feed you daily. And so you can enter into a relationship as the bride of Christ to Christ, him as your husband, then you know he's got daily bread that you can feed on every day because he's not shirking his responsibility. There is word for you to feed on every day.
Yeah.
It's in every form. You can read it in your Bible, in message books. You can listen to it on tape. Go wherever you go. You've got food. As I said in the last church age, he shows himself to be a faithful and true witness. He has shown up on the scene and to show you that I'm here to make sure you've got plenty of food. I'll take care of you and feed you and clothe you. And so remember, the bride has made herself ready. And what has she done? She's clothed herself in the word, the garment that he has provided. Right? As we look at that in comparison to that scripture in the Old Testament where seven women would take hold of one man and say, we'll provide our own food and our own apparel. Well, let us just be called by your name. Jesus, we don't want you to feed us. We'll get our own food. Jesus, we don't want you to clothe us with your clothing, your righteousness. We'll provide our own clothing. We just want to be called Christians. And there were seven of them. Because there were seven different ages where they had churches that fell away from the word. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But a husband will feed you and he will clothe you. And he'll make sure that you're clothed. And he'll make sure that you can have intimate fellowship with him as often as you need it. The duty of marriage.
That's right.
Now, I'm telling you that in the new covenant, you have access to all of this. Every bit of it. Because the Lord keeps his own word. He's the one who can do all those things. He will impregnate you with his life. You can bring forth his life. Be a furtherance of his kingdom. To be your redeemer. Because the scripture said husband is a redeemer. Right? Husband is a redeemer of the wife.
Yeah.
And to be your healer. To be your guide. I just think it's so wonderful. Even in the Old Testament, which was shadow and a type of the new. How we talked about it here a while back. How that when a young lady in her father's house would make a vow. If her father heard that and he said, I do not allow that, then God would not hold that to her. But if a father held his peace and said, let it alone, then God would make her hold her to that vow and she'd be guilty if she did not stay true to that vow. But what if she, in her ignorance as a young lady, vowed something that would destroy her life and her husband, her dad, was not there to protect her? That when he hears that, he said, no, thou, we're not allowing that. Because he knows. Right? So this, she might think, well, my dad, he don't let me do nothing, but that dad is protection.
Right.
Right? And so you see that he can intervene like that, and there'll be someone there to stop that. And so we realize that it goes on to say that when she leaves her father and is married to her husband, now the husband's got the same ability to keep God from holding her to a vow if he can disallow it. And God won't hold it to her. So now your husband's your protection.
Right.
A redeemer. A protector. Someone who can say, no, I'm not allowing that. And keep you out of trouble. Brother, sister, I think we need somebody that's got these kind of attributes.
Amen.
I know I do.
Amen.
I know that I need something to feed me spiritually every day. I need something to feed me physically every day, too. But I need something to feed me spiritually, clothe me. I don't want to appear naked before God.
Right.
I want something in me that's alive.
Amen.
And I don't want it to be filled for the world. I want it to be Christ. See, I need these attributes. I want to know him as my father. I want to know that there's something in me that's living out like him.
Amen.
See what I'm saying? I want to know those things. I want to know the Lord. Not some creed, dogma, some nonsense. You see, it's ridiculous what's out there in they call church nowadays. I seen a thing the other day. Talking about big church ministries. And he said, and they said, they have production facilities and professionals that rival anything else out there. It's a production, like a television production. Even churches right here in this town, at least one in this town, they get together and they have hours of practice before they come to until they have a service. So everything's just all the lights and show and everything else. You know, I don't want all that. I want something that's life in me. That can be spontaneous. You know, love is corrective, but love can be spontaneous.
Right.
It's awesome. You know, to have a relationship that at any moment the Lord can swoop you down and swoop you up in his arms and throw you back and kiss you as it were. You know what I'm saying? And you're, whoa, what's that for? Because I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's exactly the way it can be.
Right.
And so, Holy Ghost, spontaneous worship or spontaneous anointing to do something for the Lord.
Right.
Something alive, not some mechanical something where you're just walking around like a robot or something.
Yeah.
But to know the Lord, for something that's alive. And a fire that's working there between you and him, and you just can't wait to get home to see him.
Right.
Or her or whatever, vice versa. See what I'm saying? That's what's got to be there. That's what has to be. Yeah, you should come to church. You should pay your tithes and offerings. You should do all these things. And that's right, because the Holy Ghost will want you to do those things because they're good for you and they're good for the body.
Right.
All that without that fire. Without knowing him, it's no good.
That's right.
It's no good.
Amen.
You can speak in tongues like Brother Graham said, pouring peas on a dry cowhide. And it made no difference.
Mm-hmm.
Without that fire of knowing the Lord in a personal relationship. It's that spirit. I heard Brother Graham say it today or this morning, probably middle of the night or sometime when I was listening to a sermon. It's that spirit that's in you is what's going to take you to heaven.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. To know him in all those ways. To know him as a healer. Not just healer in the physical, but heal you from spiritual problems and things that's happened to you and scars and things like that.
Yeah.
Amen. So to know him in all these ways and to interact with him in all those ways, because brother and sister, it's yours.
Amen.
You have it all. You have access to all of that. You just have to believe it. And believe it enough that you would position yourself to say, Father, I'm here as your son today. And I want to talk to you. Or if you feel like it from a husband and wife standpoint, if you feel, whatever, or a brother, or a friend, a comforter, whatever it is. You can approach him because he is our all in all. Everything that we have need of.
Amen.
And under the new covenant, you shall know the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. You shall know the Lord. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
Amen.
I am so glad for a new covenant.
Amen.
I'm not telling you something that the message didn't tell you. I'm telling you what exactly what the message was telling you. And we saw it demonstrated in our day. Amen.
Amen.
To know that God is here to do all those things. Amen. And so he's good to us. Let's pray just for a moment. This would be a good time for you just to, as always in service, to take what you've heard and just rededicate yourself to the Lord and to what you've heard, and just ask God to institute these things into your life. And so, Lord, that's what we do now as we bow our hearts to you. We just ask God that you take this word and so place it within our hearts, Lord. That you said that this new covenant, that you would write them in our minds and in our hearts, Lord, that you would do that. And Lord, I believe I'm speaking to people that have that working in their heart and in their lives and their mind. And they do meditate upon you often each day. And it is their desire. And Lord, and maybe they do understand they're sons and daughters of God, and that you are a friend, you're a comforter, and you're their husband, if they've united with you as the word. But Lord, I'm asking that you could make all of these things a reality to them, that they would see you as that everlasting Father and that comforter and that healer and all these attributes that we're talking about. Lord, that you would just make those things such a reality to them so that they could easily, in any time, go to you and believe that they have that audience with you. We just ask, God, that you'd do that, that you'd help your people in that way. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We praise you for the word that you've given that makes clarity to us in this hour. And so we just appreciate what you do, Lord. We ask, God, that you just do perform in us that new covenant to take away our sins and iniquities. And may, as we do, as we heard it's Sunday, that we can wash each day in your word. We thank you, Lord, for this time of washing tonight. And ask that you would seal these things away in the hearts of your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God is good to us. Amen. We'll sing just a little bit of something. we'll sing this again as you go dismissed. Oh, can't you see?